Welcome. We are broadcasting live from the mothership. You are tuned in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio with your host Jonah Bolt. Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in to hear the colors and see the music. Starseed Energy Radio goes live in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back. You're tuning in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio. What is up, Star fam? Thanks for tuning in. It is Friday the 13th. Oh, crazy date, 2011. We have an awesome, awesome show tonight. Thanks for tuning in. You can always tune in on Friday nights, 11 p.m. to hear the colors and see the music. I am your host, Jonah Bolt. I am pumped up tonight because we have so much news to talk about, as well as an awesome guest. We have Dr. Richard Allen Miller, also known as Rick, on the line joining us, richardallenmiller.com. You can check out his website in the meantime, and he'll be joining us a little later on the show. So let's get right into it because I have a ton of news to cover. There has been so much stuff going on. As you've noticed, we've been getting guests weekly, and the show's been going more and more, and it's because there's just an excel of information. Starting off with really breaking news right from NASA. NASA announced this week their results from an epic space and time experiment that's been going on for a few years now, and this is on NASA's website, .gov. And basically what the whole time experiment was about was Einstein was right in his theory of a space-time vortex around the planet Earth, and its shape is it precisely matches the predictions of Einstein's theories of gravity. Basically, the researchers confirmed that these points at a press conference today by NASA at their headquarters, where they announced the long-awaited results of the gravity probe, and that's what the nickname for this is, the gravity probe. So basically, the time and space, according to Einstein's theories of relativity, are woven together, forming a fourth-dimensional fabric called space-time. So there you have it. It is official from NASA itself that his theory of space-time with a fourth dimension is real. It's a fact put out by NASA. Now, most of our listeners listening, we are well aware of multidimensionals, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 to 12, then infinite dimensions in between those. But to hear it from NASA and our government, Awesome announcement. To me, that's breaking news. It's proof that there is a fourth dimension, and it's proof from NASA. So the people that are doubting vortexes and space dimensions and time travel and all that stuff, well, Einstein was just proved right. So the space-time vortex that exists around the planet is there. So check that article out. It will be up on StarSeedEnergyRadio.com later on this week. Also, some earthquakes, all with the earth changes going on, some earthquakes in Spain. Spain had a huge earthquake last couple days. Had tons of thousands of people fleeing out in the streets, sleeping on the streets. There's a few people that died in it. 7.1 magnitude earthquake hit the islands in New Zealand. Didn't hear anything about that. As well as some 6.0 islands in Japan and also some 6.0 earthquakes also throughout the world. So these are all part of the earth changes, things that you don't hear in the media. They are going on weekly, volcanoes, earthquakes, all these changes, and weather, which we'll get into a little later on the news, the crazy weather that's been going on, especially in my own area. Also, a major news story that broke out of Russia, and the heading was a ripping space-time vortex over Russian city. Now, this happened over the fourth largest city in the motherland, okay? The fourth largest city. That's like saying like a South Beach. This was witnessed by hundreds of thousands of people. It was photographed. It was videotaped. Basically, if you check this article out, what it is a huge like swirl or portal that sort of opened up in the sky. We've seen video of it from Australia had a portal open up. It's very similar to that. You got to check out the video and stuff, but it was witnessed by hundreds of thousands of people. It was videotaped and all this. Now, the government, of course, to cover it up, they said it was a military rocket. Of course, it was a military rocket satellite that was being shot into the orbit. Well, that is a fact. The Russian military did shoot a communication satellite that day. It was actually 8 hours later, and they shot it out of the Arctic. It was actually 2,500 miles away from where they actually said they shot it from. So, good try, but to most people that are the sheeple, they buy it the first time. They don't really search too much, but they really search where they shot the rocket from. It was 2,500 miles away. So that was another big thing that came up in the news, in the world news, that was out of our media. Now, going into the weather, what the hell is going on with the weather? Now, we've been talking about this. I've been talking about this for at least a year since I've been into the loop about HAARP and how much HAARP is influencing our planet. Now, I've heard tons of shows coast to coast and Intel Hub, and there's guests all over, and that HAARP caused a 9.0 earthquake and the New Zealand one. And if you look at their charts and if you look at this, there's enough data and facts that, hey, it looks like it. You know, so then I question, well, you know, I'm a thinker. If HAARP is creating the Haiti and Japan and New Zealand and all these other earthquakes, and they're sort of man-made, well, then what are the real earth changes going on? Well, the mass animal deaths that have been happening and all this stuff that still continues to go on, the dolphins, is it HAARP? I mean, is this a big 2012, you know, global scheme where they're trying to create this madness as part to amplify the earth changes? I don't know, you know, but I do know that the changes are coming. The earth changes have started, but the government seem to be amplifying the earthquakes and stuff up. Why? I don't know, but it seems to be playing off. It's a good question. It's a question I ask. How much of this is natural? How much of it is earth changes? How much of it is the HAARP and the government? Now, speaking about my own area in Asheville, North Carolina, we have had some crazy, crazy weather this last week. Now, Monday night, I was sitting here with a friend. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, a lightning storm came. Crazy, crazy weather, lightning storm. And I was just outside, clear as day, out of nowhere. And boom, this lightning storm came, and it was flooded all over. And I talked about it last week, the Mississippi was flooding. Well, then I read more into it this week, and I heard more and more stories and more stories, and then I got the full story of what happened. And here's what happened, and this is a couple different stories put together, but this is my take on what happened. On Monday, the Army Corps of Engineers, and you can look this up, was in Mississippi, and they blew a dam or two there. I think it was two. To protect the town of Cairo, they blew a dam to protect the town. Now, a few hours later, the Army Corps of Engineers admitted that they made a mistake, and by blowing the dam, it didn't really help it. It is probably worse for it. Within 12 hours later, three superstorms broke out within several states and flooded an unknown amount of rain. It seems that no one knows how much rain fell. Well, the rain is still going on all week, and it's over-flooded the Mississippi. all the way down to the Gulf. Now, if you're watching even the regular news now, they're talking about this. Mississippi is over flooding. The rains. Well, the rains are being amplified and produced by HAARP. How do I know this? Okay, there's a web channel I found this weekend or this week that will show you different weather satellites from around the world using other satellites that will just show you the pulses from scalar pulses of the weaponry or the HAARP squares from grids they have of satellites, and you could see from the maps, like a Weather Channel map, the manipulation clear as day. It's a fact. It's there. I've seen it. It's on the internet. Look it up. Google this stuff. So these things are happening. They are purposely creating these storms to purposely flood the Mississippi. Now, people are like, oh, that's crazy. Why'd they do that? Well, here's some of the repercussions already that's happened. One, 40% of our country's rice supply has been lost within the last week, 10 days since this happened. 40% of our rice supply has been lost, as well as grain, wheat, corn, and more. So the Mississippi's flooding all the way from the top of the Mississippi all the way down to the Gulf, flooding, killing the crops. This is a big effect on our country, people. People don't realize, and this is why they're not really talking about exposing it, but this is going to have repercussions a couple weeks, maybe months down the line. What's going to happen? Well, the government blew some levees. They messed up. They create some storms. They flooded. What else is going to happen? What is on the Mississippi? Nuclear power plants are on the Mississippi. There happened to be a huge nuclear power plant in Jackson, Mississippi. Now, why are they on power plants? Just a quick background. Nuclear power plants are on rivers because they use the rivers for cooling. Now, when the rivers get over flooded like the Mississippi, the cooling systems get backed up to the nuclear reactors, and the reactors have to work in overtime. Well, when a river like the Mississippi is over flooded for an extended period of time, then the reactors could start having problems, and as of right now, from what I've read from a couple sources of reports, there are problems with two reactors here in the U.S., which, of course, you haven't heard nothing about. One of them we spoke about last week, which was the Ohio reactor, where they actually picked up radiation evacuation. They evacuated the Ohio plant, and this was in our own backyard. Did you hear about it in the news? No, of course not. But that's a fact. It happened. Google it. There's people at the plant that have blogged about it. I mean, it's all over the internet if you just look for it. So, you know, these things are happening, and they're being self-deliberate by the powers that be. It's a fact, okay? They're there. Just look this stuff up. Talking going into Japan, it's been very quiet in Japan lately. In the main media, we have this Osama bin Laden, you know, the new death, and we'll go into that in a minute. But this is very quiet in Japan. Now, if you read the media sources that I always talk about and look at, you will see that Japan finally confirms, as of today, that they have a full meltdown in Reactor 1. Now, I've been saying this and others from my sources that I read and always talk about on the show. For weeks, it's been in meltdown. All the reactors, at least three of them, have been in meltdown. I've been talking about it. Everyone's been, yo, that's crazy. It's happened. They finally, you know, the facts, it's official. TEPCO, the Japanese government officials, have finally admitted it. Now, if you read the story of what actually happened, they actually opened the door to Reactor 1, which is, remember, Reactor 1 is the least damaged of the four reactors. They went into Reactor 1. And within a few minutes, the radiation was so strong, they had to seal the door again. The radiation that was leaked, they said, would be able to kill someone in less than 10 minutes. And what they saw in the bottom of Reactor 1 was 5 feet of the 13-foot-long fuel rods had completely melted down into a pool of molten lava, which now sits at the bottom of the reactor. So what does that mean? Well, it's going to keep melting and melting and releasing that toxin, not only into the atmosphere, but it keep going into the earth. Now, we talked about the cesium-137. We talked about the plutonium. What is so crazy about the cesium, plutonium, the iodine? Well, this is what's so important about it. It just so happens that a few weeks after March 11th, the EPA, our government, just happened to raise the minimal amounts of particles per million. They raised some of the levels by 100,000. Okay, the EPA, after this accident a few months ago, raised the levels, the safe levels, of over 100,000, some of them 25,000. Okay, so you're talking about the iodine, 131, 100,000, they raised the minimum safety levels. Okay, nickel, 63, they raised it 25,000. Stradium, 90, they raised it 1,000. Why are they raising this stuff? Because this stuff is raining on us right now and all over the planet. And everyone's in denial about it. They just raised the levels, people, 100,000, okay? Let me tell you a little bit more about the EPA that I found out. This is the crazy thing about it. The EPA can do whatever they want without having any public accord or any public say on it. Oh, really? So basically, this new radiation guidance and guidelines that they could put out for their long-term cleanup standards and all this stuff that they're going to send out to everyone and have on their website is basically just put out and by no testing, and it does not require any public airing before it's decided upon. They could just do whatever they want, basically, which is what the government does. But it's official. I mean, that's what they do. They look, Google this stuff. They just raised it 100,000 times the safe amount. Okay? It's like, that's a fact that this stuff is happening. Now if you look at it, now the new standards that they raised would never be accepted 5 or 10 years ago. They are so much more lax. We're talking about the new standards that they raised, one in every four person would be exposed and get cancer in a cleanup. I mean, it's just crazy. So the Fukushima thing is real. It's happening. You need to get involved and spread awareness about this stuff. Another article I found this week, real quickly, is this just threw me off because this is just like sickening. 3.42 million doses of BioThrax, a vaccine developed by the military to counter weaponized anthrax, has just been bought up by BioSolutions. Okay, BioSolutions. Well, this anthrax vaccine that just bought from the U.S. government, BioSolutions, is going to test the anthrax vaccine on our children. That's right. The Department of Health and Human Services announced that we'll buy 3.42 million doses of BioThrax, a vaccine developed by the military, you know, to be tested. Now, it says, in quotes, "Emergent proudly supports the U.S. government's efforts and unwavering commitment to meet its stated need of 75 million doses of anthrax vaccines." What the hell does our government need 75 million doses of anthrax vaccines right now to give to our children and our kids? And if you believe they're anthrax vaccines, you're tuned into the wrong show, because you got to be thinking to believe that one. This was in the news. This is real. They just bought it from our government and they're testing it on the kids. That's what they plan to do. It's BioSolutions. Google it. Look these people up. Fuad El Hibri, the chairman, the chief executive. Write them a letter if you got kids, people. Everyone always complains. What could we do? Spread awareness. Write a letter. You know, send a make up a press release and send something out. Spread awareness about something. That's what you do. That's all we can do, and that's powerful. The truth is powerful, and that's what this show is about. Getting the truth out there so that we can use the truth and use that power to really unite us and really make a difference. Now, really quickly, onto the Bin Laden thing. This is just crazy that I keep even getting emails and talking to people about it. Like, the whole 9/11 Bin Laden thing, it's a false flag attack. Okay? It was done and orchestrated by our government. In the news this week, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State under three different administrations has come forward to tell the federal grand jury the name of the top general who told him directly that 9/11 was a false flag attack. Okay? The U.S. government, okay, this is a top guy, Dr. Steve, I can't pronounce his last name, but Pizinik, a man who held numerous influential positions. He worked for three different presidents in the State Department. If you ever heard the video game, Tom Clancy's video games, Patriot games, all those games, Jack Ryan, this is the guy his video games were made about. Okay, I know a lot of my listeners, 20-year-olds and 3-year-olds. Listen, I play Tom Clancy's games. Tom Clancy, shout out. You got awesome video games. Well, that guy who he wrote the video games about has come forward and stated publicly that he will tell the grand jury 9/11 was a false flag, and he was told directly. Okay, so this is a guy of credibility. He's not just a hoo-ha that nobody knows. This is a credible source. So people better listen to this, because this is the real stuff. You could forward people. Look at these articles. Send these articles to people so they can read it. Open up their minds, because the energy is the stuff we're always talking about. The time is now where you can crack people's just box open a little bit to these ideas, because these are the times and these are the signs that the changes, the times we've been waiting for, are happening. And these are the articles that back that stuff up. So it's very, very powerful stuff. I'll have all these posted on the website, Starseed Energy and Radio. And always post these new articles up. And during the week, if you always have any articles or anything like that, always send them into the station. We'll talk about them. And that's pretty much for the news. A lot of news to cover. And just to give you the 800 number of the radio station, if you have any questions, you could always call in the radio show. We'll try to get to some questions tonight. I know I'm running late already with the news, but the number is 888-815-9756. That's a toll-free number to BBS Radio to call into the show. And that's about it. I'm going to play another track, and joining me after that is Dr. Richard Allen Miller, and we're going to get into a lot of government stuff. He was an original Men in Black, worked for Navy Intel for 11 years, biophysicist, herbalist, written numerous books, writes for Nexus Magazine. If he's a, I mean, you name it, and he's probably done it or experienced it. And if he can't do it, I guarantee he can create an element or something that could make it happen. So, this guy, I've been talking to him for a little over a month now on a weekly basis, and he's become a friend of mine. And awesome to have him on the show. So, with that, any further talking, I will shut up and play this next track. So, sit back, relax, and we'll be right back. And welcome back. You're tuning and listening to Starseed Energy Radio. And joining me live is Dr. Richard Allen Miller. You can check out his website, richardallenmiller.com. He's got a few more sites we'll give out at the end. Again, he's a physicist, a biophysicist, an herbalist. He has a new book out we're going to talk about he's working on, and it should be out soon, and we'll get a little into that. He also worked for the military, for the Navy for 11 years. He has a ton of wealth and information and knowledge. And Rick, welcome to the show. How are you this evening?
Oh, thank you. It's nice to be here. It's late here. What is it? Oh, it's only 8:30. Sorry about that. I'm turning into such an old man so early going to bed.
No worries. Glad to have you on here. And
thank you, yeah.
I guess let's first start off. I'm going to get into your books. Your first book was ESP Induction, Evolution of Consciousness.
Well, this series. You know, I've been writing books for 40 years, like The Anarchist Cookbook, Legal Highs, Level Press, Magical Mushroom Handbook. I wrote a bunch of books before you were even born.
And not only that, but you also work with, I understand, Buckminster Fuller, Timothy Leary, some of these guys.
Timothy Leary was one of my teachers. Yes, I worked for Buckminster Fuller. Yes.
Excellent. So I'm sure you've accumulated a wealth of knowledge from working directly with those guys. And with your first book, you basically talk about how to teach people to drop themselves and yourself into a certain state of consciousness.
Okay,
where you can start
talking. Okay, ESP, it's called ESP induction through forms of self-hypnosis. Basically, when the Navy SEAL came to a fork in the road, they needed a protocol to determine whether they should go right or left. And they wanted it, of course, they had a bunch of, you know, wish list on it, that there was a three sigma error coefficient. That means you are 99.9975% correct. Every time you made a decision, it was absolutely the right one. How do you do that? Well, we discovered there's an altered state of consciousness very close to your awake state. Not your awake state, but very close to it. Easily gotten to using self-hypnosis. And what would happen is the seal would come to this decision place, drop down into an altered state for less than 10 seconds, and then have an impression and work from it. And it turned out it's called ESP induction through forms of self-hypnosis. That was the first of three books I'm writing on toward the evolution of consciousness. I'm writing that this series for Nick Begich and Earth Pulse Press.
You connect with your higher self for that time, and you get the answer or whatever question or whatever feeling.
Well, that's
or whatever
what we're all trying to do. We're trying to learn how to dialogue with other parts of our consciousness that we normally either ignore or don't spend any time listening to. You know, gotcha. When we dream and things like that, what's really happening is that the higher self, the other 9/10 of your cerebral cortex, if you will, is trying to communicate to consciousness. But it doesn't do it using imagery. It does it by using feelings. You know, in our hierarchy of cataloging events, we talk about physical plane, emotional plane, intellectual archetypal. You know, there's 8 levels that they call memes. These are ways that man organizes information. And the next level above the physical plane is emotional. And a lot of your dreams, what they'll say to you in dream analysis and things like that is, it's not so much the importance of what the content was, you know, like you went to the store and you did it with your great-grandmother and things of that nature. But what's important is the feeling associated with what you are doing. And that's where the content of information is held with the higher self, and it's trying to communicate with you. If you can form some kind of dialogue, and, you know, a lot of people are born right out of the crib with, you know, this dialogue going on, you know, these psychics, some people, like you've met Marie Zancanaro, you know, these kinds of people live in a universe that's quite different than our own in terms of what they believe and what they assume is true.
Sure, and that goes into like with like indigo children and their parents, like, oh, they're just talking to nobody.
Yes and no. Indigo children is a unique kind of person that whose chakras, if you will, are actually a different color than the normal, like all of us. And they're not really human, per se. You know how they talk, oh, you're from Rigel 4, and you're a...
Oh, I know.
Okay, well, they have different ways everybody tries to understand or categorize what's really going on. None of it's real, none of it's true, because, of course, it's like trying to comprehend that part of reality that is beyond comprehension. It's like
your second book talks about the power tools for the 21st century, which talks about the different 8 orders of the 8 different neurotransmitters that Timothy Leary laid out, correct?
Well, that's right. Okay, so that's what the first book was, is to take one power tool and explore how it all works. That starts the dialogue process where you have, using hypnosis, a way of going into an altered state of consciousness.
Gotcha.
And one that actually works for you, like a tool.
Gotcha.
I mean, it, like winning the lottery. You know,
and then
the second one goes into the ability to work on intuitions and sharpen those to such a level that you were dead on, people started to get a funny feeling about you, you know, that kind of thing. Well, then you're starting on the path towards self-realization. The second book, Power Tools for the 21st Century, are the 8 protocols I developed for Navy SEALs to literally make them supermen. Another example would be mythic living. Rather than assume that everything around you as you think it is, for example, I raised my daughter as I'm, let's say I said to you, I am so far out of it that nothing in this world is really real and is a projection of my own mind talking back to me in some kind of dialogue. That's how out of it I am. And that way, if a mythic living then would be to say, my daughter is not really real. What she is the younger, feminine part of myself having dialogue with me. Now, if you approach reality from that kind of view, what happens next is you've got a tool that allows you to enter into a world that most people can't even comprehend. And really, it's about magic is a higher form of physics. It is an art form, but it's the art of changing consciousness at will. With that, where can I give you a better idea? Let's say it this way. The brain is like a four-dimensional hologram of five space. You actually can change the movie. Literally. Like, with thought forms, you can create a timeline that has you as your thought form would have you, with the rest of alternative realities collapse down into singularities. And you learn how to navigate living in that kind of a universe. And the next thing you know is you literally can change the movie. It has to do with the way we're born. We're so twisted or warped that all of us get locked into certain places in our brain. And so the image or worldviews that we have access to would be like the current movie we're all enjoying, Horror on Elm Street. But with all of these people that said, you know, if we all have the same thought at the same moment, we can change the reality. That's true. That is actually
absolutely
not correct. Go ahead.
And I wanted to also ask you, speaking of the magic really quickly, the magic, just popped in my head, like magicians like Houdini and stuff like that. Is it that they can tap into higher consciousness of reality and bend time and space and do some of those tricks and stuff that they do?
Well, now that's the big question, isn't it? Are they doing it with
sleight of hand? I'm asking you.
Their mentality, and they used to call magic mentalism because they were able to play with the way the normal audience would look at something and observe something and or relate to something, and they would do misdirection. Now, is it a sleight of hand? Or did he actually pull that ace out of the deck? Yes, sure. It's all true. And it's, you start with sleight of hand because that's the physical plane and you can grasp it. But at some level, physics and technology become magic. How about on a stagecoach, you know, Back to the Future, you know, Breaker, Breaker, 1-7, come on. You know, someone in the 18th century would have thought that to be telepathy. But, in fact, it's a concept in the mind's eye on how a radio would work and transmit over, a period where you could contact someone else. Now, is that telepathy or is that ham radio? It's, there's a fine edge.
Yeah.
Between what's real and what is imagination. And I will be in the third book. The title is called The Non-Local Mind in a Holographic Universe. And in that universe, I am proposing that imagination is reality and that everything starts from the mind's eye and is projected into the physical world, and the physical world and its laws then comply with the thought form.
Gotcha. Okay, so that reminds me of the story of Columbus. When Columbus came to America, the Indians could not see Columbus for 3 days until the shaman explained what a ship looked like so the other Indians can see it. Is that
exactly right. If you were a staunch Christian,
yes,
and two aliens walked in the door, would you be able to see them? Would your belief system allow you to notice that aberration?
I would say no.
That came out of what the Bleep movie originally. But, you know, basically, the idea of that is that belief systems, your assumed truths, are not given drivers. they should be seen as tools, and that you would change when they're not appropriate. Like if you're in Iraq and you're trying to deal with aliens, let's say, you maybe being a Christian isn't going to work for you. So with that said, I also have a pair of bell-bottom pants from the 70s I am never going to fit in again. But I'll be damned if I'm ever going to throw them away. Belief systems sometimes become, you know, Linus's blanket, comfort zones, things that we cling to.
Sure.
Okay. But that doesn't mean you drag them out even the dead of summer when it's very hot out. That blanket may not be appropriate at that moment. Doesn't mean you get rid of it. And so what I did, one of the power tools, using brain drivers, was to teach my SEALs how to change their belief system like they would a pair of clothing. And that gave an edge over the others for survival in pulling off a mission. And
gotcha.
That's what it's about. The second book are the 8 basic protocols I developed to make my Navy SEALs supermen. And if it works for them, it'll work for you. And that's what I'm writing this book about now, is toward the evolution of consciousness, where man, you,
gotcha,
takes personal responsibility for your own personal development. You know, God isn't going to hand it to you. It isn't going to be handed to you like a birthday cake. You've got to earn it, and some people aren't going to get it. And that's the deal. You have to start from somewhere. It seems arduous. All the saints have told you the importance of meditation. Start training your mind. I'm giving a talk in Brisbane in July. I'm going to be the keynote speaker at Nexus. And this talk I'm going to be doing is on mind control and where that's going. The simple examples of it would be on Amazon, where they do what they call preferential profiling. You know, what are your preferences? You know, what do you like and what you don't like? Boy, once they start putting a little box around you like that, making suggestions on what you might want to buy, watch where it goes next.
So basically, that what we just talked about is proves and talks about why it's so important for people like you and me to do these radio shows, to drop the seed into people's minds about this stuff, because when this stuff does come about, if their minds and realities cannot handle some of these changes that are coming, their brains are either going to fry out or have a meltdown, or they're going to have a totally different experience that it's going to be a very fearful experience, and it's not going to be the enlightened experience that a lot of us are choosing the path to experience.
Well, that's what I'm about. Rather than scaring people, I'm going to try to leave them feeling empowered, like here's some direction. And that's right. That's correct.
And that's what I'm trying to do.
Currently experience things they have never encountered before, from the Japan and global alerts with plutonium scare.
Yes.
This is the first time in my life, I'm 67. This is the first time in my life I've ever heard of a global alert.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Since you brought it up,
Rick, real quick, just for people that don't know, plutonium has a half-life of tens of thousands of years, and 2.5 pounds of plutonium dispersed in our Earth's atmosphere is enough to kill all life on Earth. Two and a half pounds. That is a fact.
Was a meltdown there. Right now, this week, they are acknowledging that they lied, that in fact there was exposure, and that did, unfortunately, go into the atmosphere. That's one of the reasons why a lot of people that were born from 1950 to 1970 are now enjoying thyroid cancer. There's an epidemic because of the 1953 above-ground nuclear testing in Utah. It got into the milk. And when I heard you earlier, you were talking about the cesium-134. Right now, San Francisco has just announced that the cesium levels are 100% above EPA recommendations. And so the FDA went out and
raised,
pointed out, we'll just simply change the limits because they were arbitrary.
They just raised the levels.
In fact,
it's nothing.
They weren't. They aren't arbitrary. They were based on studies. And to raise them 100%, that's what FDA said, was about marketing.
Absolutely.
So if I personally have stopped drinking all dairy products for the next 4 to 6 months. That's me. I don't mean to scare people, but if your milk glows in the dark, what do you think, man?
Absolutely. It's a fact that HAARP and everything else has weather manipulations going on, and the plutonium, if you look at some of these maps, the plutonium goes right to North America. The winds, the jet streams carry that stuff right here.
The 9.4 that went off, a superstorm formed immediately after, and this one looked exactly like the movie The Day After Tomorrow, and that superstorm came out of Japan and headed right for
Hawaii. That's right.
What happened is just before it hit Hawaii, it broke into a very small storm that hit San Francisco, and the larger, worse storm went up north of Fairbanks. Nobody got toasted there. But
do you remember that weekend? We talked about that weekend. Do you remember what happened that weekend? The entire Congress, they took a break that weekend.
It was enough to knock trees down here in Grants Pass. Yeah.
And they took the Congress took a 3-day
The whole thing is scary. But I'll tell you what that's about. That part, I'm not a conspiracist, so my expertise. I'm a nerd. I'm a scientist. I'm a really good one. But I'm not a politician. But I will say this: the New World Order's prime directive is that before any civil rights are returned to us, before there are any further advancements in either medicine or physics or science, 50% of the world has to die. And that may be true, but who makes those kinds of decisions for us? And the bottom line is, look at what's happening in the world right now. I mean, literally, Alabama and those storms they're having, the Midwest and the floods, the Madras Fault right now is got all in the. I was talking to a friend of mine in North Carolina this morning, and he said, I feel safe. And I reminded him, that where he lived, less than 60 miles away, was a nuclear reactor. The entire East Coast is crazy with nuclear reactors. What happened in Japan is a wake up call, and anywhere, if you're even near a reactor like that, you are not safe.
Well, wait a second, Rick. You can't tell me that our government has its reactors in populated areas and they know something might happen and they're not going to tell the people.
Of course, that's true.
Rick? You mean our government's not telling us?
And the bottom line is the infrastructure is falling apart like it did in medicine. That the whole of all of our different systems are now in serious disarray. People are asking questions, no responses, because what can they say? Literally speaking, if you do a Google and go future maps of America, comma, you'll get a barrage of all these from Scallion, the usual suspects. They all have their ideas. The one that Navy uses, I'm Navy intelligence. I'm like I I was a Jesuit for the Church of DuPont. We're the keeper of the keys. We're the technology part of it. The map that Navy Intel uses for worst-case scenario is the Chet snow map, where a single event in the Pacific Ocean will take out Hawaii when Hawaii slides into the ocean, and this has happened historically. They have records of this. It will create a 1,000-foot tsunami, and the entire west coast of America is gone. The new coastline will become Grants Pass, Oregon. All of California is gone. Most of Nevada, Arizona, and New Mexico are gone. There's a little slip in New Mexico that survives. I basically now I'm retired. I'm a retired physicist, and what I do is I network rural communities for congressmen. I have worked for Dennis Kucinich and several others, where I will go to Ohio or Wisconsin, and I will network these infrastructures of rural communities. There's one in Wichita that's very cool. That's the Arlo Guthrie thing.
Awesome.
And they're all over. And what I do now is go in and fine-tune them, because what I'm doing for Project Hope and the Smithsonian is doing can you live off the grid for 30 days? Basically, the United States is going to have several gridless moments. where
yes.
or yes, and imagine being in New York City and you're up six flights and you have to go down six floors just to go to the bathroom. Now, that's going to happen. It won't last long. It probably a couple of days, you know, candlelight isn't that romantic. But watch what happens next when the infrastructure of the computer goes down because of solar flares, you know, flashing out chips.
Yeah,
so they don't longer
we've been talking about the solar flares and a lot of that stuff.
Huh?
We've been talking about the solar flares and a lot of the sun's activities
as we get closer. I'm doing now across the country. And there are 8-hour workshops. I've got one going on in Texas. I just did one in Hawaii. I'm going to be doing one in Brisbane when I go back for Nexus. And basically what I'm trying to do is fine-tune you to start thinking about medicine, your little go bag, your, you know, what are you going to do for water, for food? And what do you eat, especially if it's radioactive? How do you know if it's radioactive? How do you, you know?
Excellent.
The problem with American culture now is that if it's not being talked about on a daily basis, it's out of consciousness, and they don't think about it anymore, and they just
if it's not on the TV or the programming, the idiot box, if it's not on Dancing with the Stars, they don't acknowledge
it.
Speaking
of the idiot box, you know, this is a direct quote from the CIA. The CIA once said, literally, mind control. No, we don't need mind control. We've got TV.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, that's what my talk's going to be about. I have a paper on my website, downloadable, called Synthetic Telepathy and the Early Mind Wars. That ought to be real scary because that's what I did. I did all the microwave studies for changing consciousness. And, I was a very naughty boy. And that's one of the reasons when I woke up, I was doing another tour. I just left the military and went directly into being a dirt farmer. For the last 35 years, I've been farming. And that's why I am now called the postman, because that's what I do. I network rural communities with, you know, fine-tuning things. Like in Hawaii, they're now setting up. Water is a serious issue in Hawaii. And all their plumbing is above ground. You'll notice they can't put it underground because the ground shifts so much, it would be breaking pipe. And so that would be an easy terrorist thing, is to cut your water supply so you had to go get your water. Okay, and so water collecting is a big project. Another one I'm doing is I'm growing my own biofuel with a big still in the backyard to make alcohol. Now, my 280Z, which is a high-engine performance engine, doesn't have quite the zip with alcohol, but it only cost me $2 a gallon to grow it in the backyard and turn it into alcohol also. When we talk about being sovereign, living off the grid, these kinds of things become essential for your own well-being and self-sufficiency. It does more than give you security. It makes you now realize that if you had to be dropped back 100 years in technology, it wouldn't be that hard or difficult to survive.
Well, and that's one of the things that I've talked about in the show, is that the problem, I think, is a problem that I found with the spiritual community, is a lot of people that I run into are in this spiritual bubble that they don't want to be bothered with negativity and things like that. But these changes are going to affect everybody, and that these spiritual people in a spiritual bubble don't know how to grow their food or waters or anything like that.
Here's an error in what you're thinking there. If a person is spiritual, they have to have a physical analog. You know, in other words, people aren't spiritual but not physical. That means if someone is in poor health, what do you think their spirituality is in? It's a metaphor, because they're all the same. It's just in a holographic system, it's called resolution of information. And if you've got your shit together on one plane, it is absolutely observable on another.
Gotcha. Which brings us back to why it is so important to spread the truth and drop the seeds in people's heads about this stuff, so that when things derive or happen in the future, at least they might have a little understanding of what they're witnessing, because a seed was dropped prior by someone like me or you.
That's right. You want to be aware, discerning, and opinionated. You want to have an opinion. You want to, I don't know, I hadn't thought about it, you know. You want to have some opinions. They can get changed. They can be revised. And And the problem is, when a lot of these things happen, most people are unequipped to be able to integrate it into their life, make the appropriate changes to survive. And that's why there's going to be a large mass exodus before things change. Now, with that said, things are going to get better because they can't get much worse. I'm kidding. But really, I'm not. I'm saying that with these terrible, terrible things that are happening all around us to our friends and so on in the South, whatever, also affords us an opportunity for an advancement in awareness with personal self and how we are with ourselves. Some people won't want to live, and that's their absolute God-given right. They can make that decision. There are others that want to live. You know, the meatheads here in Grants Pass, you know, this is called Copland where I live. They all just get my rifle and go out and shoot something. Yeah, right. That's going to happen. The first thing, my weapon, when I'm out in the woods in the far north, I have actually been hunted by grizzly bear. And I'm here to tell you, that is a very scary thing, because the son of a bitch is more intelligent than me, and it's his territory. That means he's setting me up for a fall. And the weapon I carry, because what am I going to do, carry a pack pistol when I'm camping? That isn't going to work. I can't carry a heavy elephant rifle. What am I going to carry? I carry a bullwhip. A bullwhip is a nice piece of rope. I can use it everywhere. And with most, like a grizzly bear, not a black bear. Black bears aren't so bad, but a grizzly bear, boy, you pop that from 9 feet away. I use an Australian bullwhip. You pop that from 9 feet away, and that bear will stand up and think about it, because he can't grasp how you could reach out 9 feet and touch him. It spooks him. And that's your edge, because it isn't going to be your native intellect. You're not going to be able to outthink that bear. I don't know if many people ever been hunted by a grizzly bear, but newsflash, their brain case is bigger than yours. That's the problem.
That's the problem with what's going on, is that we're being targeted and hunted by the powers that be.
You have the ability. You're actually informed enough that you have a high level of potential survivability. That means all the people in India are going to go before you do, that kind of thing. You have some advantages going that you haven't made an inventory on. One of which is, you're in America. You know, good old, I'm proud to be an American. Sure, give me a break. Sure. I'm just saying, you're smart enough by talking about these things to have at least started that process of thinking about it.
That's it. Absolutely. And Rick, we got to end the interview here, and we'll definitely have you on again, and me and you talk all the time anyways, but I just want to give out a couple of your websites. You got richardallenmiller.com, you got northwestnwbotanicals.org, and you got herbfarminfo.com and dogcancer.ca and alohamedicalmedicinals.ca.
Those are pharmaceutical mushrooms I market.
Excellent.
Cancer, and diabetes, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I read over your website. You have awesome stuff, and we'll definitely have you on the show again. And thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Jonah.
Excellent. I'll talk to you soon. And for everyone else, we're going to play a track for a minute or so. We'll come back, do a wrap-up, and listen to this next track. We'll be right back.
Of the highest sense, feelings of warmth and security.
And welcome back. You're tuning in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio. That was an awesome interview. So thanks again to Rick, Dr. Richard Allen Miller, for joining us. And just real quickly, want to give you an update on what's coming up. I got Paula Muran joining me on May 27th coming up. Check out her website, paulamuran.com. She's an enlightened spiritual master. Basically, she's an emissary to Santa Gumora. I don't know too much about that particular person, so we're going to find out more about that, enlighten myself and find out more and ask some questions. So that will be an interesting interview. She's basically a modern-day Bodhisattva. Basically, she's like a spiritual leader. So she has a very big following. She has a lot of workshops, seminars. She's written a couple books. One of her latest ones is Codes of Light, The Power of Our Beliefs and a Revolutionary System to Heal Them. So she's got a lot of cool stuff. Coming up on June 3rd, we got Cyber Pixie coming on. That's going to be an awesome, awesome interview. World's leading number one VJ. For those of you that don't know what a VJ is, it's a visual DJ. They mix things together visually with sound. And she's coming on. Check out cyberpixie.com. That's PSYBERPIXIE.com. We're going to be talking about the polar shift coming up, the polar shift that's happening, I should say. And also, how about electronic music, how it heals, how she uses it to heal, and her enlightenment experience. And it's going to be an awesome interview. And then the week after that, June 10th, I also have coming on is August Worley, the inventor of the paradigm. And this invention machine is awesome, and I definitely want to have him on the show since I first heard about this, because this is definitely new technology, the kind of stuff we want to get out there. Real quickly, what the paradigm is, the intention of it, it's an instrument that functions as a healing instrument. It's not like a musical instrument, and it incorporates a full spectrum of brain entertainment techniques using light as well as sound. So it's something that musical instruments don't do. It's a new type of healing device. It's awesome. We're going to have on the show to find out more about that. And also coming up on Tuesday, a shout out to my man Simeon doing his webinars. He's doing the Crystal Moon of Compassion with Quinn Yan webinar coming up this Tuesday, 11 a.m. Mountain Time. So check out his work, Cosmic Consciousness Online and CosmicNexus.org. Awesome, awesome stuff. So Simeon, always a shout out to you because your webinars rock, and I will definitely be there attending as well. So that's pretty much it, Star Fam. The time is now. You know, spread the light, spread the love. A lot of things going on. If you have any questions, comments, concerns throughout the week, any stories, email us. You could always follow me on Twitter. All these stories I talk about, I always put on my Facebook or also the website. And again, the Twitter account, you always get these live updates as well. With that being said, Star Fam, much light and love. And here's the last track. We'll see you next week.